previously on Getting the Mecha.
The animation world is one constructed by someone, and that person has awareness, and that awareness, in the case of Tamagawa's work, lives within it. Even though I do say surprises, it does boil down to who you know, and who you know can make very good work, because they can really do wonders. But I want to at least offer my thanks to those who have worked on anime this year, because they've done a phenomenal job, and I think that is one of the least things I can do.
This is Getting the Mecha, the weekly anime and manga show where we take things one step further. I analyze everything from arcs to OPs to episodes in my wacky but enjoyable quest to make sense of all of it.
Welcome back to Getting the Mecha. I'm your host Jamal today, and happy holidays, guys. It is the 25th, it is Christmas Day. If you don't celebrate, then happy holidays. Hopefully you're having a nice restful day. Today's episode, if you are listening on time, I'm assuming you are, we are on our final episode of the year. So next time Guess the Mecha will be back, we'll be on the 1st, being the 1st of January, the first day of the year as well. So we got a bit of good timing here. But in today's episode, what I want to talk about is what I've learned from this year and what I can take from it. If you were here last year, I really do hope you were. Last year, I did an episode just like this where I spoke about my lessons that I learned about anime, not really from anime, but the things I've learned about the meta and the medium of animation and the world of manga and stuff like that. I evaluated that for 2019, and I want to do the same for 2020, totally not just because it did well, but also because I think it is an enjoyable thing to do, and it's a nice angle to look at things rather than, I don't really like going through the approach of, okay, what was the best anime this year, what was the worst anime this year, because that is all well and good, and I'm sure that there are other creators doing that, and that is totally fine. I have my favorites and things too, but what does that really all boil down to? And that's why I kind of want to give something I think that is a bit more valuable, which are the lessons I can take from anime this year. So that is what we'll be doing in today's final episode of the year. I just want to say thank you for supporting Getting the Mecha through 2020. Despite how wild it's been, I really appreciate all the support, and we've gained a lot of listeners, we've gained a lot of followers, we've gained a lot of people in our community, and so I want to welcome all those who are new. Thank you for listening, and without further ado, let's get into our final episode for 2020. Here is the episode for this week. That is episode 75 of Getting the Mecha, my anime lessons for 2020. For the last time in 2020, I will talk about spoilers and alerts as I will do every single episode. And there isn't really anything. This is a very open episode where I'm just talking about things that I've taken away from the productions of this year and things like that. Not really in the reviewy sense or analytical sense really, but just looking at some things which I've thought about and I just want to discuss with you guys. So nothing really on the spoiler front. And so let's dive into our first lesson. The first one is that I think is probably the most important one, and one that is probably universal of the years, but I have really learned it this year, and that is to give work or works the appreciation they deserve. This year has been a big year for me when it comes to animation appreciation or anime appreciation. This year has been the biggest year for me when it comes to learning about Sakuga and animation and all those technical, techie things. And it's been a very fun journey, but it's also come with a lot of learning too. It's been a crazy learning experience getting into the whole world of it. And I think that's really taught me to appreciate production a lot more. I think I did speak about this last year. If not, this is a new point, I guess. And something that I've said many times before, and I think it's just good to reiterate, is that with what the industry's gone through, I think there's not a better time to appreciate and understand how anime is brought to us. It really humbles me, not because, oh, I'm part of the industry or something like that, but even just as a casual viewer, regardless of whether I'm a content creator or not, it really humbles me to know that there are so many people that put in their all in order just to entertain us, and they put in all that passion in each of their drawings in order to do so. And that is not even just drawings, whether you're on the sound team, whether you're storyboarding, even though that is drawings, but whatever side of the production you're on, whether you're a production assistant, because that's something which we've been speaking about a lot, not on the podcast, but the wider community has been on the internet a bit more, talking about production assistants and stuff. So it's things like that I can really appreciate. Unfortunately, this learning experience has come at a time where there has been some major news this year about the malpractices of a lot of anime studios, whether that is Studio Trigger, whether that is Ufotable, whether that is 4C, whether that is stuff on MAPPA, or just a lot of things anyway. Even stuff regarding translators or manga letterers and stuff in the West as well. A lot of things surrounding these ideas. But I think now it's more vital than ever. Or it's not a best. There's been no better time to appreciate how or who is bringing you your work. With the current situation right now, it's really opened my eyes as to that even more. There's a really nice phrase which comes from a Kanipa video. I should be linking it in the show notes. And it's just the phrase of anime's essential workers. Essential workers, obviously a big theme of the current global circumstance. And to think of them like that is a really good conception of it. These are the people that hold down anime. Without these people, anime simply wouldn't exist. Without these in-between animators, without these translators for Western anime, that's the letterers for manga and stuff like that. These are the people that make it what it is, and I can really appreciate even more now that these are the people that go out of their way, despite the roadblocks in the industry, to deliver us good stuff. The second thing is that we're moving on here. The second thing is that I've learned that I don't want to quote Medium, because that's another thing I've learned, even though I'm not really going to discuss it this episode, but anime as a medium is very debatable. So let's just call it this space. It's a very unpredictable thing, and it's full of surprises. It's only half true, but I would even argue that almost anything is possible to an extent. Despite 2020 being known in the media and in sort of meme and internet culture as negative and the worst year ever, you see almost every company now is taking up the whole mantra that's been going on social media that 2020 just couldn't get any worse and you deserve the best and everything. It's all for that sort of capital agenda, which I find really funny, but even so, despite all of this, despite all the negativity and negative rhetoric it's come with, I think there have still been some positives, and there have been some positive surprises in the mix too when it comes to anime and manga. When I say everything is possible, or anything is possible, I don't literally mean everything. From what I understand, I think, at least when it comes to art and everything, I think the ceiling can be pushed, and we can push for better things. The surprises come out of pushing the ceiling even by a minuscule amount, by doing that extra impact frame, by smearing at that point that I didn't expect you to smear at, by this anime coming out that I didn't think was ever going to come out. It's these small things that really push and change the precedence of things, which I think is what makes this space exciting. Even stuff like Chainsaw Man Part 2 becoming a thing really did surprise me. Even when Chainsaw Man was announced to be finishing a week later, that was obviously, if you're listening to this in like 2021, that probably makes not much of an impact right now. But now, when this is the hot topic, it's things like that that just always hit you at, I don't say the worst time, but at least at very interesting times. And that has been a big theme this year. I think the biggest surprise for me, and I will just admit it, was Bleach having its sequel, or at least the final arc of Bleach, actually being adapted. I did get kind of dunked on Twitter because I did make a joke about Bleach not coming back, but there's a bit more context, but you listen to another episode and you actually hear that. So I'm taking the L once again, the final episode of the year. But the point is, as well as, okay, sorry, Inuyasha gaining a sequel as well being Yasuhime. I don't know how well it's doing. I haven't watched either Bleach or Inuyasha. But my point is that these things that you don't think are particularly likely can still happen. And I'm not really trying to give hope to all the people begging for a season 2 or 3 of their favorite anime, or even an adaptation of it. But I just mean that sometimes things go different to how we expect them, and it's been a really big learning experience for me in that area. If we sort of veer back on topic, I would say stuff like, when it comes to pushing the ceiling, great example for me would be Fire Force Season 2 Episode 2, directed by one of my favorite directors of this year, being Shuntaro Tozawa. Such a beautiful episode, from its letterboxing to its colors to its amazing set of animators, from Yuki Sato to Yuki Yamashita. Such an amazing combination of those people and a great director. And I didn't see it coming. That's the thing. And when it hits you, that, or at least when you find that slight push in the ceiling, I think it does create what we call a surprise when it comes to art. Another example, Fate Grand Order Episode 18, tremendous set of animators in both the character acting, effects and fighting departments. Nakaya Onsen, Wellen Zhang, Toshiyuki Sato, the list goes on. And Twilight Wings as well, another great example, Shingo Yamashita, Wellen Zhang, so many more. And that's what I love about anime, and that's what I love about the animation space, that they can create these surprises, these things that slightly push the bar every time. And 2020 has been a lot of bar pushing, which I've really loved. And obviously my obligatory plug of Fog Hill of the Five Elements, probably the biggest push of the boundary I've seen. And I will hold back because I literally just recorded the last episode a few minutes ago, and I'm not going to go into Fog Hill again, but just know that is what I call pushing the boundary, in my opinion, from the perspective of animation. And it's a triumph for indie work, really. It's a triumph for independent creatives. I think it just shows them that you can make something amazing, you can compete in this very fast moving anime space. And Fog Hill maybe didn't get the recognition I wish it did, but that being said, it still got a heck of good recognition that it deserves, because it's well made and made by great people that know what they're doing. My next lesson, and probably my last long lesson here, is that anime goes much further than TV. This is kind of where I ended off on the last episode, and we're kind of picking up on it again. And yes, it's a very self-explanatory thing. Watching anime genuinely on a TV and having TV channels that play anime has never really been a big thing for me anyway. Just to put it in context, I don't live in Japan, I've never gone to Japan, but even so, like, I never grew up with stuff like Toonami, which some people older than me did experience in this country, the UK, that is. But also, but actually I know a lot of folks from the US did experience Toonami and stuff like that, or maybe even the Anime Max, I do believe. But watching anime on TV just hasn't been a thing, and UK TV and cable, as much as I hate it, has managed to prove that it doesn't really care about anime, because it barely shows it on any channel, and the channel that did, being Vice, just died. The channel itself actually died. So no more Tokyo Ghoul Re late at night, no more Wolf's Rain late at night. Things aren't looking very good, and there's been no film for Ghibli season either, which is a massive betrayal. Yes, there is Netflix to watch this, but I feel really sad with no Ghibli season. But that being said, with the fiasco that is the UK TV scene for anime, I've begun to learn that TV anime isn't everything anyway, and not to downplay the work and the effort that animators and voice actors and producers and directors put into TV anime. That's not my aim here, but it just shows that anime is much more diverse than simply the TV space alone. just to like, as an example to how things are in the UK, or maybe not even the UK, just me as a whole, the first anime film I watched in the cinema was this year, and that was just before everything hit the UK. This was My Hero Academia Heroes Rising. You could actually sit in the cinema and everything. So My Hero Academia Heroes Rising was the first film I saw in cinemas that was of the anime, I was about to say genre, but I didn't mean that, but of the anime meta. But even so, if we move that to one side, stuff like web projects and stuff are of so much value. And I didn't really realize that from Twilight Wings to the various music videos of this year to Fog Hill, as I kind of have been going on about for ages, even just the streaming age itself, even though the streaming age does have TV anime, but besides those, they're just things that don't necessarily belong on TV. The music, I said that already, but like Gotcha was a great example of this. Seeing the creative freedom of those who have created short films this year, be Xu Li or Shingo Tamagawa or Yoshitoshi Shinomiya, Kojo Tano, etc. I think also with the delays and everything that's happened with TV anime, we've been able to see the value which comes out of these works, and there is an equal, if not, I don't know about greater, but an equal amount of, I wouldn't put value as, okay, this has more value than the other, but they have equal value, and we can see that. There are other works this year that are still sitting at the top of my head despite everything that has happened. I've really come to realize that there isn't just one superior form of distribution when it comes to anime, and form even. So All Saints Street, a Chinese anime that has 4-minute episodes, or even 3-minute episodes when it comes to the content, and yet it's so enjoyable, it's really well animated, and it makes me feel fuzzy inside. And same thing applies to, say, Daily Life of the Immortal King, which I maybe didn't like as much as I wanted to, but it's just the principle of its existing on a platform like Bilibili, where you can watch most of it for free and you can still have a really good time watching it. I think it's the power of anime that is something that's become a lot more apparent to me, and it's a lot more than how or what it's on, but more of what it is. And I think it's been able to transcend these boundaries. And then my final lesson, I did say that this was going to be a slightly shorter episode this week, or did I say that? But anyways, it's going to be a shorter episode, as I am just giving some very basic lessons to round up the year nicely and send you off into 2021, hopefully. So my final lesson is that I've actually improved when it comes to commitment. It's just a bit of a meme one to end off. And I didn't know that this would be the year which I would start One Piece. And yeah, One Piece was not something I saw coming at all, if I'm honest to you. I bought those One Piece volumes basically on a whim, because I was like, screw it. My birthday just passed, let's just read One Piece, okay? And I did that. I had a really good time. I'm still having a good time, still reading it. I'm on Marineford arc right now. But I think One Piece has been the biggest thing I've taken on in my anime and manga career. Committing to a almost 1,000 chapter manga, it's on 999 as of this week. I believe that's on Sunday when it's officially out. That's a lot of chapters, even though I've cleared almost half of that, or over half of it, so I'm really happy about that, actually. The point is really that you can really try anything, and I don't think quantity should be a limiter. I can understand if you're not enjoying something for a long piece of time. I'm not really the type of person to say, just wait, it'll get better. But I think sometimes it is worth falling for the hype, almost. Not really falling for it, but giving into the hype. Whether that is trying out Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, or watching that one anime film from 1985 that you never thought you would watch in a million years, just try it, because even if the film is 2 hours and 30 minutes, why not? I think it probably has some value in there. And if you don't get value from it, just know that you've kind of accustomed your taste as to what you don't like now, and you can almost work harder to find something that you do like as a result of watching something you didn't. And so I am gaining a bit more of a glass half full approach when it comes to committing to anime and stuff like that. The same does apply to the Monogatari series, which I did finish this year as well. That was a great experience. One of the best experiences with an anime I've ever had, honestly. And I didn't think I was going to watch a series, but it also gave some good opportunities to have breaks and stuff like that. I still have to finish the final Karo no Kyokai film, even though I did watch almost all of them during the whole lockdown thing. Mostly in the nights, plus in the late evenings. It was a fun experience though. I just watched a lot of things here and there. Like I watched The Dragon Dentist this year. Why did I watch it? I don't know. It was okay. I had a good time. Well animated as well. So the point is that even as the years progress, I don't think it should be a deterrent to get into something that you think you could have a fun time with. And even just trying something new. I said this last year as well and I stick to it. And I guess this is the real message behind my meme message of commitment, and that is try something new. Just do something on a whim. If there was that one anime you're very curious about, just watch it, because why not? What is there to lose? Okay, one might say their time and their pleasure, but maybe this is just me and I don't think of my pleasure and time very highly, but what is there to lose? Just have fun with it, and if you don't have fun with it, then move on. And I think that's something worth taking on, especially in a year like this where we have had a bit more time on our hands. And I think this year has been a really good opportunity to do that. And sure, we might not have, I hope we don't in 2021 have the time to do that, but even so, I think it's just a good philosophy to have with entertainment. Just take a chance and take a chance on different things, and I'm sure you'll find something really interesting in there that you'll enjoy. It's actually very refreshing when you forget about chapter numbers and how many episodes you have left until you catch up, and just getting lost in it all. I'm not really thinking about, oh, how am I going to get to chapter 1000 of One Piece in time? But I'm more thinking about, oh yeah, Marineford, this is brutal. I'm very scared as to what's going to happen next. Who's going to die? I'm very shook. And that is the priority, and just being able to get consumed in a work is something which I wouldn't say I'm improving at. So this isn't some, it's not really a big thing to my life whether I'm enjoying works or not, but I think with longer works I've found the ability to enjoy them and just get consumed and not worry about the end result, because yes, as corny as it sounds, it is about the journey, and the journey is what is worth enjoying for me. As the journey equally has its peaks and its troughs and its climaxes and its anti-climaxes. And so I guess this discourse on, yeah, how am I going to catch up? I got to finish it. Isn't really productive for us understanding what is within the narrative itself, what is within the production itself. There are many things within that, and it's probably more worth enjoying that than polluting your headspace around getting to the end, because it's not all about the end. It's about where you're at. And I think that's something you can really take from this year. With that being said, that is the very philosophical analysis over for this week. I don't even have quite an analysis, but it's been a really fun one, and that has been most of the episode, basically. I do want to give closing thoughts, and I also want to give you guys a bit of a parting message for this year. I'm kind of just going to wing it. I didn't bring any notes, I'm sorry, but I'll kind of just wing it and send you on your way for 2021. So the few things I've learned from this year, they're pretty basic, but I would also say that they hold a decent amount of value, at least to me anyway. The first is to just appreciate the work and productions that we enjoy, whether it is Fate Grand Order and all its animators, whether it's Fogel of the Five Elements and its few animators. Every work has people working on it, whether that's the mangaka themselves or the people lettering and translating the manga for you. All of them deserve appreciation, and I have become a bit more humbled and grateful for that very process of people going through a lot in order to bring the work that I gain pleasure from and enjoy. The anime and manga space are full of surprises, and I've learned that firsthand. It is very enjoyable from that perspective, whether it's your favorite animator coming on a work you never expected, or a work you also never expected to get a second season, or to finish, or to have a part two. All of that is I think, what keeps things interesting, and this year being one which is kind of based off a bunch of plot twists has proved that exactly to me. The third main lesson is that anime goes much further than TV, and this has just become a lot more apparent as I've watched more things this year through different means, and with stuff like Bilibili available and Twilight Wings even, and the music videos and everything. It's not really about what it's on, it's not really about it being on TV, but it's the idea that it can go into anything and we can equally enjoy it. And whether it's a 3-minute music video or it's a 20-minute three-part series, I can enjoy all of it almost equally, as I think a great amount of work has gone into these projects, and that can be done whether it's in short form, long form, film, or again a TV series. It's not really the idea that it's a TV show in itself, but it's the power of anime and the power of the entertainment, or the form of entertainment we love, to do and perform so well in almost any circumstance. And now the actual final thing, and that is me just saying thank you for your support. Whether that is, as I did say, I am winging this, but whether that is everyone who has followed me online or on social media, whether that is everyone who I have collaborated with, I still need to collaborate with a lot more people, but whether that is that, whether that is you listening, or following and subscribing to the podcast, whether that's you subscribing on YouTube as well, whether that's you leaving a voice submission, which I hopefully will bring back a bit more effectively in next year. But all of those things, I just want to say thank you. It's been an amazing year for the podcast, and we are, yes, a small podcast. I am a small indie podcast just making these in my room, but I've enjoyed every one of them, and I'm so grateful that I have people who actively care to listen to every single one of them, or at least listen when they can. That is enough, and I just can't thank you guys enough. Basically, it's been a great year, and you guys have made this year a good year for me, and I can only thank you guys, the listeners and the viewers, for that. But thank you for listening to my awfully corny TED talk. Let's go to the outro. I don't really know how to segue into this, so let's go to the outro, and I will see you off for the final episode of Guess in the Mecha this year. Thank you for listening to this episode of the podcast. It's a pretty short one, might actually be my shortest looking at my computer, but that has been episode 75. 25 more episodes to go to episode 100 next year, which will be very exciting. I haven't actually calculated when it will be. I am guessing it's going to be towards the middle of the year, which should be, yeah, it should be around the middle of the year, which should be really nice. That should actually coincide with the 2-year anniversary of Guess in the Mecha. But we still have quite a while before that, so let's not get it too ahead of ourselves. But thank you for listening. Thank you for listening all year round, or thank you for listening this year as a whole. And I look forward to 2021 of Guess in the Mecha. Feel free to also leave a review on Apple Podcasts as well. That helps out the show a ton. I'll see you on New Year's Day next week anyway. It's not like I'm going anywhere. Like, I don't know why I'm making it so dramatic. I'm literally going to see you next week. I guess you in 7 more days, and you'll probably tune in, assuming you actually like the show. You'll probably tune in again, and we will talk about anime and animation and manga as usual. But I have been your host, Jamal, today. Have a great 2020. There should be more cool content coming soon. And this has been Guess in the Mecha. The music in this production goes as follows: 8-bit title screen by Joth, Mandatory Overtime by Joth, Difference by Chasers Gaming,
and Anomaly, Barrack Media's Undersoundimage.org.